Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis, Shir number 622. We are in chapter 4 of Do's and Don'ts of Staying Happily Married by Rabbi Chaim A. Morgenstern regarding appreciating your spouse's nature. And this is a general rule. Stereotypically, things could change, but generally speaking, there are dominant traits and manifestations in both men and women. He bases a lot of this from the Maiznayim LeMishpat by Rav Zalman Sirotzkin, Chelek Aleph. And it's explained in Rav Chaim Friedlander's Guide for Chasanim and Rav Shlomo Wolbo's Guide for Chasanim and Kalas. So a lot of what we're saying here is based on that. To understand the interactions between a husband and a wife, to examine the essence of their thoughts and actions, there is a dominant trait that's in males and females respectively. Men were created to function through their logic and rationale, while women in general were created to function through their emotions and feelings. It's obvious by the fact that the women's emotional and sensitivity levels are greater and more developed than a man's. That's the Bina Yisera. They have a certain special Hargosha. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that men are emotionless. It doesn't mean that women are not logical. You see many successful women in the workforce and men that have an emotionally inclined nature. There's feminine aspects in many males. There's masculine aspects in many women. But it does mean that men and women inherently integrate their respective dominant traits through their speech, decision-making. And the dominant trait behind the scenes, generally speaking, in men is their logic. In women, generally speaking, is their emotions. And that is the idea. Scientific studies have shown this, that how women's brains are wired more for emotional sensitivity in feeling and expressing emotions. They're more capable of verbalizing emotions more easily than the men are capable of, because they what they feel is transmitted more effectively on the verbal side of their brain. For example, a man can surprise his wife with a bouquet of flowers, but will find difficulty in writing those warm notes in expressing his feelings towards his wife. The difficulty for men in these areas of expressing their feelings causes most women to feel a lack of verbal closeness with their spouse. Now, again, it could be the other way around. Some women also have difficulty expressing their affection verbally. So, again, it's not always the case, but generally speaking, this is the case. And the reason why Hashem created men and women with distinct different characteristics is to help each other fulfill their respective roles in marriage and in life. A man's trait of logic needs to be used to understand, of course, the Gemara, halacha, learning, functioning in aspects of the home, major investments, purchasing, home buying, car buying, and a lot of these things. Intuition and feeling is not enough. They need clear-cut logic to deal with these things. A wife's role is a lot centered on her family, on her home, on the souls of the children and the husband, and that requires an emotional aptitude combined with a greater sensitivity towards everyone's needs. And that plays a vital role in the growth and stability of the family in general. And that is the gift of women. And these two traits differ, and they often clash, and we have to learn how to integrate the two aspects, the emotion and the logic, with a healthy application of both, each one learning what they need from each other in those areas. You know, you have the opposite situation sometimes, where the husband is the one that's more emotional and feeling and open and warm, and the wife is more logical and analytical, it could happen again. But this is general speaking, and even if it's the opposite way, this applies about adapting. But the idea is that anything that becomes part of a person's emotion, it's harder to adapt and change, because emotions are generally more powerful. Logic is easier to change, because that reason could dominate and help. And again, it doesn't mean that you squash the emotions. It means you sort of direct it in a right way. So an example of emotion versus logic, and In a context, he brings an example that Miriam, her upbringing growing up was a spotless home, proper etiquette at the meal, and to see someone eat with their hands or use cutlery the wrong way, or cutlery that fell on the floor and someone picks it up and starts using it again, would be would be disgusting to her. Her husband, though, came from a home where these things were completely acceptable and would regularly do that in her presence. Now, when the marriage got under the way, the husband's eating habits disturbed the wife to the point where it disgusted her to watch him eat. And the husband challenged her, saying, "I wash my hands with soap before eating. There's no germs on the freshly washed floor." But no matter what logic he used, his conduct fell on deaf ears. She couldn't be civil it. She couldn't handle it. They discussed this problem with a Rav. It became clear that the bottom line is with her. Since her habits were part of her emotions, it's more logical and wiser for her husband to readjust his logic and conform with her feelings. It means so much to her, so do it. And eat with the fork and knife and follow those things, and, you know, not in an obsessive way, of course, but this is the idea of adapting. That's how they do adapt in the opposite way. Fears also affect emotions. Agoraphobia, there's certain people that have difficulty standing on top of a rooftop, right? Even if they have a wall, you know, protecting it. No matter how much you can convince them, you know, it's impossible for you to fall off, but you still have that fear. You know, that many women have fear of crawling insects or rodents or spiders. And the husband hears the wife shriek in the kitchen and she panicked because a roach crawled over the floor or ants are on her counter. You know, so he has to realize that logical proofs that insects are harmless and there's nothing to be afraid of and it's simple, you know, we could work on getting rid of it, but there's no reason to make a big deal. That's not the way you approach it, because she is coming from the basis of an emotional fear, which needs to be respected and honored and not made fun of. And he needs to understand that. And no matter how logical, it seems illogical to him, and she knows it's illogical, but it's an emotion, and it needs to be respected and not to be made fun of in any way, but actually to honor that fear and respect it. The idea also is, you know, when there's worry about how bills will be paid, and very often a wife will feel insecure, you know, because what will happen if we don't pay the bills? We'll get evicted. And the husband is more logical. No one was starved to death. No one will be evicted. That's a logical aspect. But no matter how logical he is, it won't calm her fears. The husband's first reaction when a wife, let's say, expresses such fears of being evicted out of the house because we didn't pay a bill on time, or with insects and so on and so forth, her fear of that, is to empathize. Empathize with his wife, validate her feelings, and really be honest and truthful and sincere about that. Recognize that your logic, it has certain value, but the emotion is just as real and even more real to your wife, and you respect it and you empathize. When you do that, then your wife will be more open to relate her concerns, and she'll feel she's understood. And then once she feels she's understood, the husband will have a better chance of calming her fears for real. Sometimes a woman would worry about her husband returning home later than scheduled. So it's important for the husband to let the wife know when there's a delay in his arrival home and so on and so forth. When he leaves the house, let his wife know where he's going, call if there's any delay. That's a sensitivity that a white husband needs to portray and exhibit and really feel internally for his wife. The idea of sensitivity also is to understand, generally speaking, women's feelings are more easily hurt than the men's. It could sometimes be reverse, where a husband is sensitive and his feelings get hurt more. You know, if a husband is an HSP, a highly sensitive person, then it could be reverse the roles in a certain way. But and an innocent remark could deeply hurt feelings. And then there's a issue that comes up with Einas Devarim, saying by a hurtful remark, and we had a series power of words about Einas Devarim. And men, generally speaking, don't surrender to their emotions, you know, unless something unusual happens. So they, in their minds, think their wives are too sensitive, or they cry too much over little things. And subconsciously, a husband may think, you know, if such a remark wouldn't hurt me, why should it hurt my wife? You know, and there's no problem with saying this. But again, that's a yisayid in Hilchos Lashon Hara, by the way, that it is based not on the subjective aspect of the person saying it, but it's based on the subjective of who is saying to or about. So if it'll hurt your wife, even though if it would be said to you, it wouldn't hurt you. You can't say it because it will hurt your wife. So that's very important to understand. And again, also then once emotions are hurt, mostly by women, but sometimes by men, but if emotions are hurt, it's much more difficult to forgive and forget and overcome it. Because when one is emotionally upset, the use of logic to explain to her why she shouldn't feel that way will be ineffective. There needs to be an empathy and a feeling towards it. There's always needs to stress here the importance of reconciliation. And the idea is to always try to reconcile with one another. But there's a damage on the emotional core that one has to be very careful about. So in other words, if a wife makes a negative remark about her mother-in-law, her husband may have a hard time forgiving her fully because his emotions are hurt. When the issue doesn't penetrate the core and they have a disagreement, let's say, of where they're going to travel or a dinner menu, oh, so then it's easier to reconcile and go on with life. But if it hurts to a core, a wife said a sharp negative comment about his mother, or he says sharp negative comments towards her, it's harder to overcome those hard feelings. And sometimes there's a harboring of bad feelings for a long time, even months and even years. So anytime you're emotionally oriented, an insult will sink very, very deeply. But again, the person who is the recipient of this and has those emotions hurt, they need to learn very strongly to work on uprooting and overcoming it. So sometimes a husband, let's say, hurt his wife this way, and he's frustrated because he really felt bad, and he asked Mechila many times sincerely and in the right way, and the wife still has trouble forgiving. To him, you know, his wife, you know, had insulted him, he would have forgiven this already, because his logic would help that, right? But with her, because it's an emotional thing, it's harder to overcome it. Now, it is important to overcome deeper resentments. You know, there was once, he says here, a Rav was counseling a couple, and he listened to each other's complaints, and he found it difficult to understand what the core of their machlekes was. And finally, after questioning the wife for a while, the wife admitted that her husband hurt her deeply by something that happened 5 years earlier, and she still has some resentment, having trouble overcoming it. So there are times where it's better to let bygones be bygones, move it on, and work internally towards that. Sometimes it's better to work things through. But again, it goes both ways. It goes on the person that is saying these things to be very careful not to hurt the other one emotionally. And when they did, to be patient in, you know, having the other one turn around and forgive them. But the one that is the recipient of this and was hurt emotionally, even if the emotion went deep, they really have to work through overcoming it. Recognize people are human. Your husband or wife who hurt you emotionally, they didn't mean to, and even if they did at the time, they regretted it, and they made amends already 10 times over, and they need to really work on overcoming it. And here is where tefillah comes in. You know, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you have trouble removing resentment, and your husband and wife already asked mechila and changed their behaviors for the better, and they want to move forward, and you have a hard time moving forward, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for guidance. Help me let this go. Sometimes you need to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you let go of things, to help you with your Shalom Bayis, to help you have the healthy emotions in pertaining to Shalom Bayis in the best possible way. Bracha v'atzlacha.